Kovac knew there was trouble when he tried to reach Tom Severance from the Golden Skies radio room and got no response. He didn't even get a ring. With the radio switched off, on Kovac's orders, it wasn't until 20 minutes later that word reached the ship from a satellite news broadcast. A meteor had been spotted streaking across southern Europe. Estimated at weighing a ton, it had hit an island off the coast of Turkey. A tsunami alert had been issued, but there was only one report from a Greek ferry about a wave, and it was said to be only a few feet high and presented no danger. He knew it was no meteor. It had to have been an atomic bomb. His two prisoners hadn't been lying at all. The American authorities knew about their plan and had authorized a nuclear strike. The light people had seen streaking southward across Europe must have been from the cruise missile that delivered the warhead. Kovac hit the mute button on the television remote to cut out the anchorwoman's speculative blather. He had to consider his options. If they had sent operatives to the Golden Sky, they must have known he was on the ship. No, that logic wasn't right. He was here because he suspected they were aboard first. So they didn't know where he was. His solution then was simple: kill his two captives and leave the ship when it made its scheduled call on Heraklion, the Cretan capital.
"But they'll be waiting," he muttered.
Whoever sent the two Americans, the CIA most likely, but what did it matter, would have operatives at the port to meet the ship. He wondered if he could slip through their dragnet. Then he wondered if it was worth the risk. Better to simply stop the cruise ship and escape in one of the lifeboats. There were thousands of islands in the Aegean to hide on until he planned his next move. That still left the question of the prisoners. Should he kill them or take them as hostages? He wasn't concerned about controlling the man, who looked like a stoner to Kovac. But there was something about the woman that told him she could be dangerous. Better to kill them both than worry about them trying to get away. That left one last detail, the virus. It lived only for a couple of weeks in its sealed canister, so it wouldn't do him much good after his escape. Releasing it would infect the 1,000 or so people on the ship, and with a little luck, they would spread it when they returned to their homes. But he didn't think there was much chance of that. The ship would be quarantined, and the passengers held in isolation until they were no longer infectious. It was better than nothing. Kovac got up from his chair and walked onto the bridge. Night had fully descended, and the only illumination came from the consoles and radar repeaters. There were two officers on watch and two helmsmen. Kovac's assistant, Laird Bergman, was outside on the flying bridge, enjoying a cigarette under the stars.
"I want you to go down to the laundry and release the virus manually," Kovac told him.
"Did something happen to the transmitter?"
"Nothing that concerns you right now. Just get down to the laundry and do what I say. Then find Rolf and report back up here. We're getting off this ship."
"What's going on?"
"Trust me on this. We're going to be arrested as soon as we reach Crete. This is the only way."
One of the officers suddenly shouted, "Where the hell did he come from? And what does he think he's playing? Call the captain up here and sound the collision alarm." He rushed out to the opposite flying bridge.
"Stay with me," Kovac said, and he and Bergman jogged after the ship's officer.
A huge freighter was coming straight at the Golden Sky. She looked like a ghost ship, with all her running lamps extinguished, but she was cutting through the water at a good 20 knots. The officer shouted back to the others on the bridge, "Didn't you see him on radar?"
"He was 10 miles away last time I checked," the junior officer replied.
"That was only a few minutes ago, I swear."
"Hit the alarms!"
The Golden Sky's bellowing horns had no effect. The freighter continued to aim straight for them, as if it intended to slice the cruise ship in half. Just when it seemed there was no avoiding a collision,
The freighter's bow turned sharper than any ship the officer had ever seen, and she came alongside with only a few dozen feet separating them. It was an incredible piece of ship handling, and had the officer not been so angry, he would have been impressed. With the feral instincts of a rat, Kovac knew they were here for him. He moved back inside and away from the crewmen. Their walkie-talkies didn't work well around so much steel, but he raised Rolf Strong, the third man who had choppered to the ship with him.
"Rolf, it's Kovac. I need you to clear everyone out of the engine room and lock yourself inside. No one is to enter, and kill anyone who resists. Do you understand?"
Unlike Bergman, Strong never questioned orders.
"Clear the engine room and let no one enter. Copy!"